I don't know about you, but I found it really hard not to clap after that. Okay. My name is Haven Clausen, and I'm a member of the preaching team here at Tumsi. Like a lot of families, we have a few volumes of the Guinness World Book of Records kicking around. I'm continually surprised at how many weird and wonderful accomplishments are recorded in it. Almost anything you can imagine. Almost. But someone you won't find in the Guinness World Book of Records is the humblest person. The only place I've seen that achievement recorded is in the First Testament. Numbers 12:3 says, Moses was the most humble person in the world. Last week, Marika Mayer spoke about what it would mean to see God face to face, to have that incredible knowledge and understanding of the divine. We are told that Moses had that experience. In verses 7 and 8, God says, my servant Moses is the leader of my people. He sees me face to face, and everything I say to him is perfectly clear. I think, in part, his humility is what makes Moses receptive to divine instruction or guidance, and what makes him a good leader of his people. Humble people are teachable, accepting instruction and eager for constructive feedback. They are stoic, not expecting situations to always suit them or things to always go their way. The humble understand that they are both physically and morally vulnerable, and therefore are not too proud to ask for help and to seek accountability. Being humble means being grounded. The Hebrew word for humble is derived from the word for earth or soil. To have a good relationship with the vine, you need to accept what it means to be human and have both feet on the ground. In our gospel passage, Jesus says, the humble will inherit the earth. The earth rightfully belongs to those who understand their place in it. In the 6th century, Saint Benedict, understanding the foundational knowledge or foundational nature of the virtue, humility, came up with 12 rules of humility for those who participated in monastic life. In the 20th century, these rules inspired 12-step programs developed to assist those seeking freedom from the tyranny of addiction. It is an interesting paradox that submitting to rules can bring freedom. But committing to a shared path in community with others truly can feel like freedom to those who have been imprisoned by the misery of unmet expectations, insatiable wants and needs, or the lie of self-sufficiency. Speaking of lies, it's important not to confuse humility with low self-esteem. Misunderstanding certain Christian virtues can keep people trapped by thinking that what they're experiencing is what God wants or expects of them. If your low opinion of yourself causes you to be fearful, to isolate, or compare yourself negatively to others, if you cannot accept compliments or lack confidence, you probably have low self-esteem. Humility means knowing your limitations, but also recognizing your worth. I have to admit, I've struggled with this. Feelings of inadequacy or inferiority have kept me from serving and loving others, serving and loving God. But my feelings of unworthiness have more to do with the dominant culture than my faith. If I'm honest with myself, my biggest fear is not that God will not accept me, but that I will be judged, passed over, or abandoned by other people. The solution then is not rooted in worldly ambitions and achievements, because they would never be enough. Even if I reached some imaginary pinnacle, I would struggle with imposter syndrome and fear being found out that I am not as wonderful as I need everyone to believe I am. The solution to my insecurities is cultivating true humility in service to others and to God. Something that is closely related to humility is obedience. And once again, this one can be tricky. Obedience to God is not always obedience to others. Bad laws need to be broken. And sadly, sometimes abuse and coercion run rampant in religious communities where members are required to obey without question. But even when, in my heart of hearts, I know what I'm being asked to do is reasonable and right, there is a part of me that resists. I don't love being told what to do or how to live. As I prepared to preach this morning, I thought ruefully about the guests we would have today, particularly about the special visitors here for the choir retreat. And I remembered how much I disliked sermons when I was young. Because when you're young, everybody seems to think they know better than you, and your own hard-won wisdom may not be valued as it should be. While time sometimes helps put things in perspective, and the opinions of your elders are certainly worth seeking out, I think we all have access to God's wisdom, regardless of how old we are. I was particularly moved when, during the infant dedications a few weeks back, each child was named a bearer of ancient wisdom. The truth of that brought tears to my eyes every time it was spoken. Humility means recognizing everyone has something to say. If humility before God is a hidden or root virtue, love is the fruit that we share with others. The kind of love referred to in the Micah reading is hesed, which doesn't really translate well into English, but is, as I understand it, love plus commitment, faithfulness, and loyalty. It is a merciful love that is quick to forgive. In the verses immediately before today's reading in Micah, there is a brief overview of all that transpired between the time when God led the Hebrews out of Egypt and their entry into the land that they would inhabit. Through this summary, God asks, "My people, what did I ever do to you?" I love that the name Micah is a rhetorical question, meaning who is like God, because he really seems to like to use rhetorical questions to make a point. What did I ever do to you? By remembering all of those pivotal moments in God's relationships with the Hebrew people, they are meant to understand that what God has continually done for them is love them in the merciful, steadfast way that is hesed. So when God is asking their followers to embrace faithful love, they are basically saying, love the way I love. This is no small thing. And that's why it requires humility and the kind of strength and forbearance that only God can provide. Being humble means not rejecting the hard work and heartache that comes from loving well and mercifully. It means really listening and not lording it over anyone. Humility ensures that when we strive to do the right thing, our efforts are not tainted with self-righteousness or resentment. Humility means not feeling entitled or expecting others to defer to your wishes. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that the Micah passage was paired with the Beatitudes today, because it's a lot. And the one thing that, for me, makes it not feel completely overwhelming is that Jesus promises that living this way, doing what God requires, is also a recipe for happiness. It's counterintuitive, but true. We are made for this kind of work, to embrace this mindset. It's in our nature. And because of the very rightness of it, happiness is inevitable. I have struggled a bit to accept the word happy here, especially since it is used in the present tense. But the more I sat with it, the more I accepted the truth of it. Yes, Pharrell Williams, I believe that happiness is the truth. That song kept bouncing around in my head as I prepared this sermon. I think Jesus is trying to challenge the way his disciples imagine happiness, and I also think his use of that word is very intentional. But to experience the happiness that is our birthright requires a leap of faith and a conscious decision day in and day out, whether or not we feel like it, to do all that God requires of us and to walk humbly with them. I'd like to close with the Serenity Prayer. It's one of the most well-known prayers, and it has been adopted by 12-step programs as an expression of faith and stoic humility. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever. Amen.